So welcome to this segment where we'll try to go through the goals and objectives of financial management. So over a recent times, the goals of CFO has undergone change and change for better. It has expanded and it has become very complex. It not only now the goals cover many things, and among them chief is maximization of earning, company's value, take care of the shareholders or stakeholders, ensure that legally you are compliant, and also ensure that you do your corporate social responsibility. So it's expanded much beyond bookkeeping and historic times to lot more and has become very complex. In this section, we'll try to cover the following objectives for the CFO, which is how does he or she ensure profitability of the organization? How do you come to the firm's value and enhance it? Increase of shareholders' wealth, strong and effective financial management. We'll get little technical now from this segment onwards to look at earnings per share. We'll go through the entire legal and compliance requirement as per the laws of the country. How do you ensure leadership in the business that you're operating? Look at employee welfare and customer satisfaction. And finally, look at corporate social responsibility, which has become a legal requirement from 2015. So let's start with a little bit of background. So maybe 100 years ago, the main goal of finance function in India was to just prepare accounting statements like trial balance, income statement and balance sheet. Lot of things have changed over 100 years, as you would agree with me. India has moved towards economic growth, our GDP is growing, inflation is under control, and we are soon emerging as the economic powerhouse in the world. Because of which, all economic activities now ensure that the finance function has a very positive role to play. Because of this growth and finance being critical to the growth of the organization, the goal requirement, the expectation from the chief financial officer has undergone a change from a traditional method of profit maximization, which was only set by the owners of the company. In modern economic scenario, finance manager is looked up by the management team as an important in-house resource available to them for achieving their individual as well as corporate goal. We'll get into introduction after the historic thing. So a CFO must work very closely, obviously with the CEO, but also with the marketing manager, the materials manager, the HR manager, if you were into manufacturing, then with the plant engineer, the branch managers, not only that, with shareholders, with other investors, customers, employees, revenue authorities, and society at large. He being the fulcrum in the organization to ensure that everyone's goals individually and corporate goals are met together. Maximizing profits of a business entity. The most obvious and of course the most important goal set for the CFO is to ensure you maximize the profit of the organization legally and with integrity. They need to put all their physical assets and manpower together to generate more and more net income for the benefit of owners and the employees. Anytime a business decision needs to be taken, its effect on profit has to be considered, and if it is positive, then only it should be implemented. Will it be positive in 1 year, 2 year, 5 year is a decision taken depending on business, in investment required and things like that. However, at the end of the day, as a corporate entity, you need to ensure growth and increase the profits of the business entity. Therefore, you will take up activities which will help you to achieve that. However, this assumption does not always hold true, as I explained before. The firms may not necessarily always try to do maximization of profit, and there are many factors and market conditions that render profit maximization objective secondary, and we will touch upon few of them. So, for example, a CEO of an organization can have a directive that he needs to achieve leadership in the marketing in which it is operating. Firms often like to become top leaders in their line of business, and they try to attain leadership at the cost of profit. In these cases, the objective of profit maximization gets seconded to the leadership goal in the field, and leadership may connote either maximum sale or manufacture of maximum product lines. Also, to attain market leadership, the organization has to plan to avoid any potential competition from new members in the, so create entry barriers. CFO many times in such case tries to restrict profit, therefore discouraging new entrants to enter the field and compete. If an organization was always doing profit maximization, then competition and other market players will look into that organization and that sector and industry, and seeing an opportunity to make more money, they would also get in. Therefore, CFO ensures that you don't necessarily go for profit maximization, but go for leadership in such scenarios. If the new entrants are allowed, they can gain market share, they can infringe upon patent rights, and they may also touch upon the resources for raw material and therefore increase your cost. So in order to avoid such potential competition, the firm sometimes adopts a policy of profit restriction. Does it always work? Not necessarily, but this is one of the options available to the CFO. However, in regulated market environment, management may wish to prevent government intervention. So if you are working with lot of licenses, need regulatory requirements, at that point of time you may not want to be in the highlight of government's intervention. So, and government sometimes looks at high level of profits as an index of monopoly power, and therefore the attitude towards profit from the government side and from the corporate side are different. So if the CFO or the organization goes for maximum profit policy, then the government and other NGOs and other players in the environment may think that the firm is exploiting the consumer, and therefore there may be a public demand to make it rationalized or nationalize it, or also evaluate it, make it more audit and things like that. So in such scenarios you try to reduce it. Also, when customers see companies making abnormal profits, in the details of profit maximization, their goodwill goes away, they feel cheated. In such a scenario, the organizations collectively and CFO in particular takes a decision to either hold or reduce the sale price. So good example of this is Parle G biscuits. They decided to hold the price line of Parle G smaller packets and made it a red line. That means the price should not increase. However, inflation was increasing, cost of making it increased, and it was found out in the market that slowly but surely the grams, the weightage of the product started decreasing just to manage to hold to the red line. But that helped the organization by ensuring that they always were at a leadership position. And it's only recently that that red line was breached, and they started looking from a customer experience point of view and realized that no one wanted a very small packet of Parle-G, and maybe they wanted something more substantial, the market research showed, and they were forced to breach that red line. Also, if too much profit is shown, then in an environment of trade unions, they may want more money as wages, and this wage increase demand year on year may put the cost structure of the organization at a risk. And what today is a competitive advantage scenario may turn out to be a liability. So many a times, therefore, profit maximization abnormally is not pursued by the organization. Maximize business entity value. So this approach is based on the premise that the ultimate measure of firm's financial management is not how the firm earns, but how the earnings are valued and repeatedly valued by the investor. So in analyzing such firm's financial management, the investor, in addition to the earnings, will also look at the risk taken by the organization to make that earning, the time period over which this earning can be sustained, the quality and reliability of reported income and expenditure, and such other factors to evaluate whether the entity has a value. Under this business entity value objective, the CFO or the finance manager considers the effect of his or her decision on the entity's overall value and not at some specific localized optima. The increase in shareholders' wealth is a very complex target for finance manager, because many a times, in fact, they do not have control on the direct control, actually, on the market price of the shares traded on exchange. However, any decision taken by the finance manager will have an impact on the market price as well, and it also depends on the expectation of the shareholders. This distinction is very important to be understood, because the share prices are not only as an outcome of the past earning, but the shareholders' expectation, the analyst expectation, the growth of the economy, and many economic environment factors play a part of it. Therefore, the focus of the organization and CFO in particular is on the long-term wealth maximization rather than day-to-day price fluctuations, which are very transient in nature. This is very important, and as an example, the CEOs of Nifty companies time and time in their annual reports inform the investors of the same. So Reliance Industries have mentioned, in everything that we do, we have only one supreme goal, and that is to maximize your wealth as members of the India's largest investor family. Mahindra & Mahindra has given in its annual report, all of us are beginning to look at companies as owned by shareholders. The key is to raise the shareholders' return. This coincides with the objective of maximizing shareholders' wealth. Strengthening the management power. The question is often posed in discussions on the subject of goals and objectives of financial management, is that do financial managers always follow the targets of maximizing shareholders' wealth? And there have been cases or examples that said that under certain circumstances, management is more interested in its own self and protecting their own individual field of influence rather than try to achieve shareholders' wealth. So one particular event that is recalled is when a competitor invited that let's merge the two companies, and all analysts felt that such merger is in the favor of the shareholders' interest. However, the management did not agree to it and they kept the status quo. Therefore, of course, one of the factors was also that it would have become very monolithic and there could be challenges on post-merger power of the management. But mostly to ensure that their influence and their powers are not curtailed. So this is a question that constantly gets asked, and therefore one has to even look at it that what kind of management is running the organization. Maximizing earning per share. So one of the goals and objective of a finance manager is to increase the earning per share, or EPS as it is called. As we know, dividends are normally distributed annually, but for many large profitable companies, they often declare additional dividends, which are known as interim dividends. So you get interim dividends and then a final dividend. And two metrics are used to examine a firm's dividend policy, because dividend policy plays a part to ensure earnings per share ratio. One is the payout ratio. So payout ratio is calculated by dividing the dividend paid by the company's earning per share, paid by the company to the earning per share. A payout greater than 1, which is rare, means the company is paying out more dividends for the year than its earning in the year. This can happen because possibly this year was an exception, but to ensure that shareholders get some return, the company has paid a higher dividend from what it has earned this year. This step ensures that the firm's price, which is the equity price in the market, remains stable, and if it does, then the above objective is realized. Another matrix to look at dividend policy is the dividend cover. Now, dividend cover is calculated by dividing the company's cash flow from operations by the dividend declared. A lesser cover indicates firm's emphasis on declaring higher dividend and thus increasing EPS to meet the above objective. One of the other goals for the organization or for the CFO is the compliance role. So he has to ensure that all regulations are met, all standards, industry standards and otherwise, are ensured, all laws are complied with, the terms of contract and engagement with all parties are ensured, there has to be transparency, any guidelines or rules set by the board of directors are ensured, are complied with. This is an all pervasive role to ensure legal compliance by the CFO. He has legal responsibilities for tax, compliance roles, and a sole proprietor, for example, and therefore we are talking now of a sole proprietor kind of organization, calls for payment of excise duty, sales tax, income tax. In addition to timely payments of dues, there is additional responsibility to file stipulated returns and documents as per prescribed schedule. A partnership firm also has to comply with all these rules. And for a company, following are the acts which they have to adhere to, if applicable to them. Joint stock companies, the scope of compliance is wider as per the Companies Act of 2013. The CFO has to file a balance sheet at the end of the financial year, a profit and loss account for the year, along with the cash flow statement for that period. In addition to that, he has to make a statement of changes of equity where applicable, explanatory note annexed to the balance sheet or income statement, or financial statement is needed. The CFO has to ensure that the books of accounts are audited, and these reports are to be prepared as per accounting standards and according to Section 143 of the Companies Act 2013. It is also the responsibility of finance function to give cost data to marketing to enable the entity to compete effectively in domestic and overseas market. This is to ensure the goal to attain market leadership. So from pricing decision point of view, marketing, sales and finance have to jointly decide on how prices have to be set and whether they are working in competitive markets or market where you have a virtual monopoly. Of course, to attain market leadership, you need to have good quality of product or service and an effective marketing setup. In addition to this, you also need a very competitive pricing, and the goal of a finance manager is to determine how the fixed cost of the organizations are to be recovered, and this forms the basis of the pricing policy of the company. So obviously, in the market where the business entity has dominant market share, prices can be decided in a manner that you will get better margins after recovery of most fixed cost. However, in competitive domestic market, to stay ahead of competition, you may decide to lower the share of fixed cost that has to be recovered from selling price. So this allows a firm to arrive at a sale price where it will be difficult for competition to match it, and therefore they'll attain leadership position. However, in overseas market, you'll have to take care of all the benefits that the government provides for export, and there you can afford to reduce the price to get entry into that market and make money out of it. Goal of promoting employee welfare. So one of the bigger responsibility of the finance function is to ensure that the employees receive their pay packets error free and on time. By doing this, they ensure there is no employee grievances. They are supposed to deduct from employee salary, provident fund or income tax, and they have to pay to the concerned authorities on or before the prescribed due dates. It is very important and an important responsibility of CFO that timely submission of mandatory returns at scheduled interval is ensured. In addition to the regular operations of ensuring timely payments, the finance manager plays a vital role in preparing pay packages for employees after taking inputs from HR. The objective is obviously to control employee turnover, eliminate any disruption caused by resignation, and avoid large retraining cost. This task is crucial for employees who are critical to the progress of business entity. So you have to ensure in such a way that the employees get maximum after tax income to the employees. In this, obviously, if you ensure this, the employees morale can be maintained at high levels or even increase with incentive programs. Another goal of the organization is to ensure customer satisfaction. One of the main reasons for any growth of the organization, in addition to the products and services that it produces, is customer and how customer is satisfied after consuming the product or the services. If the customer is not satisfied, then the organization will find it really difficult to stay afloat. Now, a finance head ensures that operations, marketing, finance come together and work as single team to ensure customer satisfaction. In addition to that, the pricing which you will take from the customer also must reflect that the customers must see that they are not overly paying for the products and services which they are using. The quality is very important, and many a times to maintain customers' goodwill, you may need to hold or reduce the sale price. Other elements of customer satisfaction could be some cash discounts, some price discounts, sales, free samples, door delivery, guarantees, and free buy one get one free kind of campaigns which you can run at periodic intervals. The world at large, which means corporate social responsibility, is becoming more and more important. All government is looking at corporates who are making good profits to contribute towards the socially weaker elements and ensure that they participate in the growth of the country. So from 2015, it has also become a legal requirement, and hence it has become the management goal. So they ensure, they try to integrate the social and environmental concerns in their business operations and interactions with their stakeholder. In this sense, obviously it is important to draw a distinction between CSR, which can be a strategic business management concept, and charity sponsorship and philanthropy. Both are different. Even though charity can make a valuable contribution to poverty reduction, enhancement of reputation of the company, the concept of CSR obviously goes beyond it. CSR is generally understood by a way through which a company achieve a balance of economic, environment and social imperatives, called the triple bottom line approach, while at the same time addressing the expectation of shareholders and stakeholders. CSR issues, environment management, eco-efficiency, responsible sourcing, labor standards, working conditions, community relationship, social equality, gender balance, human rights, good governance, and anti-corruption measures. Completed CSR goal brings along competitive advantages to the company, like enhanced access to capital and market, increased sales, etc. Of course, it is part of legal compliance as Section 135 and Schedule 7 of the Companies Act 2013 relates to CSR, and it's effective from April 1, 2015 as part of current Companies Act. It is applicable to companies who have net profit of 5 crores and above, or a turnover of 1000 crore and above, or the net worth of 500 crore and above. So to decide if a company is eligible for mandatory CSR spending, its profit from overseas branches and dividend received from other companies in India is excluded from the net profit criteria. These are the conditions and how much they need to spend, which is minimum of 2% of their 3-year average annual net profit on the CSR activity. So they need to have a CSR committee, they should monitor the CSR policy, activities, and board of directors will review it and sign on the balance sheet. So to summarize the goals and objective of financial management, century ago it was only to prepare accounting statements like trial balance, income statement and balance sheet. And because of the huge economic thrust, the growth of the country, it has gone much beyond it, and now it covers maximize the business entity value, maximize shareholders' wealth, strengthen the management power, maximize earning per share, ensure legal compliance, try to achieve market leadership, be forefront of the employee welfare, customer satisfaction, and corporate social responsibility. With that, we come to end of this segment. Thank you.